Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Always a great day when I get to bring David Cobb on the show, at David W. Cobb on Twitter, covering college basketball and college football for CBS Sports. David, what is the word? How are you? How was your weekend?
And my weekend was good, man. I got to hang out in Nashville at the SEC tournament. I didn't actually stay for the title game, though. I mean, I was like, eh, this is boring, the number one seed versus the number two seed. Who's got time for that? So I got up out of town. I'm actually coming at you live from the 901 right now. We're hanging out in town for a few weeks. And, catching up on sleep a little bit after last night, the selection show and all of it. But it's a good time of year, man. It's a really fun time of year. So excited for, honestly, like the first four doesn't really do it for me. I need Thursday to get here pretty soon. So we can really kick off the NCAA tournament.
Understood. Now, since you're in the 901, tell me about the Tigers. Did they get underseeded at a number 8 facing FAU in the East?
Maybe, because you would like to think that winning the conference tournament title game is going to give you a little bit of a boost or a bump. You know, and they went from being around a 9 at most places to being an 8. And you're like, really? We beat the number 2 overall seed in the NCAA tournament on a neutral floor, and that's all it gets you. But at the end of the day, I actually think the draw is all right.
Yep.
Not that, don't get me wrong, FAU is not going to be an easy first-round opponent. That team is very legit. But Purdue, as a potential second-round matchup, is clearly to me the least intimidating of the number one seeds, because they're a team that, yeah, they won the Big Ten tournament, but look at the path they took to get there. They beat a Rutgers team that's hobbled and going to the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat an Ohio State team that was playing its fourth game in 4 days without its leading scorer. And then they almost blew a 17-point lead in the final 6 minutes against Penn State. And really, entering the Big Ten tournament, they were just 4-4 over their last 8. So, we knew Memphis wasn't going to get in the same pod as Houston. We knew they weren't going to get in the same pod as Alabama, since they'd already played those teams. So, to me, if you got to pick between the other two number one seeds left in this bracket, I would much rather be in a pod with Purdue than Kansas, without a doubt.
So with that, are you buying anything that the Big Ten is selling? Purdue, by far the best team in the Big Ten during the regular season, and obviously won the tournament, only lost 5 games the entire year. With that, are you buying any of these teams from the Big Ten going into the tournament?
No, I mean, I've got Memphis beating Purdue in the round of 32 and going on to the Sweet 16. It's one of the bolder takes in my bracket, but I do believe that's certainly within the realm of possibility. And frankly, if FAU beats Memphis, I think Purdue would be vulnerable against FAU too. I think Memphis is uniquely equipped, though, to handle Purdue, because of the fact that they turn you over so much and they throw so much pressure at you.
And the
Purdue
pace.
Plays two freshman guards, and I just don't think they can handle Memphis's intensity in that way. So, I mean, outside of Purdue, you got Indiana, who is a 4, but I kind of think their first-round matchup is difficult against Kent State as well. That Kent State team as a 13 seed is really, really good defensively. So the Big Ten is, in my opinion, headed towards yet another titleless year. So they might have the most volume in the tournament, but it's, again, a scenario where I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at a second weekend with two or fewer teams from the Big Ten.
Who do you like out of the East? This is interesting because Tennessee knows Zakai Ziegler. They've struggled without him. Obviously lost to Vandy in the SEC tournament. Kentucky's been all right. I think they were over-seeded, though, as a number 6. I guess Kansas State's been solid. Who do you like? Who do you like out of the East?
Yeah, I ended up going with Marquette, and I like the bottom of the East bracket more than I like the top. reasons I've outlined already with Purdue and that you mentioned with Tennessee, but Marquette and Kansas State are pretty interesting to me down there. Marquette obviously coming off the Big East tournament title, just an incredibly efficient offensive team, led in part, mind you, by a Memphis native in Cam Jones.
Shout out.
Really good for them, yeah, this year with Tyler
Pride Tolle. Pride of ECS, right?
That's right, yeah. Go Eagles. But Marquette's the team I got coming out of the East. They came through a really difficult Big East with a two-game edge in the regular season standings there, and then won the conference tournament title. So I kind of think they got a favorable draw in the sense that Michigan State and USC as potential second-round opponents, neither of them really inspire a lot of fear in me if I'm Marquette. And then Kansas State could be a really fun Sweet 16 matchup for Marquette. And I've got Marquette winning that game and then beating Duke and going on to the Final Four. So, yeah.
Duke is the obviously sweetheart for a lot of different reasons, and they played really well, won the ACC tournament. Hey, we're really good down the stretch in tournament play – or not tournament play, but conference play. But are they too trendy to you? I mean, I feel like everybody's sort of riding the Duke train right now.
No, not really, because it's just sometimes you just don't overcomplicate it. Yes, I understand the hesitations with a team that plays and relies so heavily upon five freshmen. Yes, five freshmen are a part of this Duke rotation. So come NCAA tournament time, I can understand why that gives some people a hesitation. But think about the fact that, you know, Jeremy Roach is this team's point guard, yep. And he was in the Final Four last year. You know, John Shire, yeah, he's a first-year coach, but the guy has seen some stuff over the years as a lead assistant to Mike Krzyzewski and also as a player. So Duke has won 9 games in a row. Duke won the ACC tournament. I think it's good for Duke that game came on a Saturday, because that gives them even, you know, more time to prepare for what will be, I think, I'm going to rank all 32 games in the first round in terms of, like, watchability or, like, fun potential. And I'm leaning towards having Duke Oral Roberts 5-12 game as the top game on that list, because, man, there is just so much there on both sides that makes Duke Oral Roberts a potential blockbuster game of this first week. So I'm in on Duke. I've got them going to the Elite Eight and losing to Marquette. So I know they haven't been ranked most of the year, but this is the deal with freshmen, and this is a lesson for Memphis to watch in advance of a season next year where Memphis is going to rely heavily on freshmen. Duke was able to get better as the season went on, and, you know, it's a different world for Duke because they can still make up some ground in conference schedule in a way Memphis can't. But, yeah, Duke's playing well at the right time, and those freshmen are starting to round into form. I don't see them making the Final Four, but I don't see them being a flop either.
Talking with David Cobb from CBS Sports, snub talk has sort of relied and revolved around Rutgers, Oklahoma State, Clemson, and people sort of have poo-pooed the idea of Nevada being in there, Mississippi State as well. Do you think overwhelmingly that those how much ground do any of those teams have to stand on when we're talking about snubs as a whole in the NCAA tournament?
Not a ton. I mean, I think relative to recent years, the committee got pretty close to nailing this thing. And Rutgers, I think, is the one to me that has a little bit of a case, because, I kind of feel like the fact that Mawat Mag is hurt them too much in the sense that, like, the committee was like, well, you guys don't have him anymore, so we're not going to let you in. When I don't know if that's really how it should be. I think it should almost be a sense of like, oh, we recognize that some of your losses down the stretch have been because of Mawat Mag's absence. So that seems a little skewed to me. This is a Rutgers team that did go on the road and beat Purdue, who's the number one seed in this NCAA tournament. That's among the best wins that anyone has in college basketball this season. So it felt to me like maybe the poor ending for Rutgers had an oversized impact on their absence from the field. So, I mean, at the end of the day, not a huge qualm for me. I thought the committee mostly did a really good job with this field. And hopefully we don't get a situation like last year where we've got some coach out there like Buzz Williams from Texas A&M who's going to just and whine and complain and go on a speaking tour of grievances over the next couple weeks.
Well, this year, doesn't he kind of have a little bit to complain about? A 7 seed? I mean, compared to Kentucky at 21-11 with a 6?
Not after the way he blasted the committee last year. those guys have feelings.
That was payback. I hear you.
Yes. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's fun to think about because he did put them on blast last year. And I think this year he is correct to be upset. I mean, I assume he is that Texas A&M got a seventh seed when most bracketologists had him at a four or a five. I mean, we're not talking about a one seed disparity here. We are talking about as much as a three seed disparity, depending on which bracketology expert you look at. So that's pretty wild. But at the end of the day, where I fall on it is that Texas A&M is in the field and they got a shot to, I mean, I got them going to the Elite Eight because if they keep playing like they've been playing for the last two and a half months, there's not a lot of teams in college basketball that can beat Texas A&M right now. And I know they just lost to Alabama, but Alabama's the number one overall seed in the entire NCAA tournament. And Texas A&M has had very little problem with anyone in the SEC outside of Alabama. And in fact, they beat Alabama to close the regular season just a little over a week ago. So, yeah, the Aggies got a raw deal for the second year in a row. But I'm ultimately not all that worried about what it does for their ceiling in this tournament.
And I'm ready for, and obviously they have to get through Penn State, but A&M versus Texas 2-7, that'll be a hell of a game.
Yeah, sign me up for that one. That one will be a blast. I think that would be in Iowa, so kind of a random place for those fans to reach, but I'm sure they'll find a way to get there, especially if that matchup comes to fruition. A future SEC matchup, mind you, it'll be fun to have those teams back in the same league. And there are some interesting dynamics like that. You know, another one that comes to mind of local interest, of course, is Memphis FAU. I mean, that's going to be a conference game in future years. So, you know, you see the Houston rivalry come to an end on Sunday, but perhaps the FAU rivalry begins this week. So there's some interesting dynamics like that in this bracket. And that Texas A&M game, if it happens, that'll be among the highlights of the weekend.
What upsets are we looking for? Or keeping an eye on. Obviously, the 12 seeds this year are just brutal, I think, for the five seeds. Oral Roberts, Charleston, Drake, and VCU. I mean, I honestly wouldn't blame anybody for picking any of those 12 seeds. But what are the big sort of ones that jump off the page as far as upsets are concerned, double-digit seeds?
Yeah, I just stopped short of putting it in my bracket, but I do really like Kent State's chances against Indiana. Kent State, they played Houston and Gonzaga back in November, early season non-conference stuff. They didn't win either of those games, but they were really close in both of those games. And obviously, Houston and Gonzaga were great then and have turned out to be great all year long. And Kent State plays really, really good defense. Houston only shot 32% when they played Kent State. So I think that's a team that could give Indiana some problems in the first round. And then another one that jumps out at me that you mentioned already is VCU going up against St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a team that has been highly ranked in all of the computer metrics of college basketball over the year. They went 1-2 against Gonzaga, but there's not a whole lot else out there. And VCU is another team that's just ferocious defensively. And they held Dayton to 20% shooting in the second half of the A-10 tournament title game on Sunday. So I don't know that St. Mary's and Aiden Mahaney and those guys are going to be able to get their shots up against VCU. So that's one of those 12-5 games where I really do like the 12.
Yeah. Who's your favorite draw? Like when we talk about some of the higher seeds, I'll get to ones in here a second, but who in all of these who is your favorite draw as far as what they can get through and it's sort of easy path to Sweet 16, easy path to the Elite Eight?
Yeah, it's Alabama for me because you look at the South region. Alabama's the number one seed. Number two seed there is Arizona. Number three seed Baylor, number four seed Virginia. So you're talking about an Arizona team, though. Tommy Lloyd's done a great job with them, but this is his second year as a head coach. He's never been past the Sweet 16. Lost three NBA players from last year's squad. And they won the Pac-12 tournament title game, but they did so against a really banged up UCLA squad. So not intimidated there. And then number three seed Baylor in Alabama's region is 2-4 over its last six games and really didn't play any defense at all. And then number four seed Virginia, lastly in that region. They are without Ben Vanderplas, who's a starter, a veteran leader for them. And they've really been underwhelming for much of the second half of the season. So I think in terms of like the other highly seeded teams in Alabama's region, Alabama to me stands head and shoulders above.
Right.
And you know, I guess that's as it should be since they are the number one overall seed, but I do really like Alabama's path.
Yeah, I get you. Now, last thing, with the one seeds, you like Alabama's path. I think a lot of people just obviously they won last year. They're able to get a national championship. They have some guys back. Jalen Wilson's been fantastic. I think a lot of people like Kansas. So out of Houston and Purdue, who do you think's the first one out? Who do you think's most likely to be knocked out early?
Yeah, it's Purdue for me. I got them going out second round versus the Tigers.
Yep.
They've struggled mightily over the last 4 weeks or so, really. And they need that secondary star behind Zach Edey to emerge, and they just haven't had that yet. And, you know, the cliche this time of year is never bet against a team that has veteran guards. Well, Purdue does not have veteran guards. They start two freshmen, and they've been great for freshmen, especially unheralded freshmen, no doubt. It's been a great season for Purdue, but I can't see it lasting beyond, at best, the Sweet 16. So I don't see it lasting beyond the first weekend. They're my first number one seed to bow out. And then I've actually got the other three number ones in my Final Four, which is a little bit chalky.
For yeah, for sure.
A little bit on the basic side, I suppose. But, yeah, I got three number one seeds and the number two in Marquette in my Final Four. So not the most innovative or out there of all the brackets you've ever seen. But you know what? After I finished last in my family pool last year as the, quote, expert, I decided to take a little bit more cautious approach this year.
With that Purdue-Memphis game, let's say we get it. I mean, is it a situation where you think Memphis can just outpace them out of the game and sort of take Zach Edey away from the basket a little bit more if he's going to have to be matched up against DeAndre Williams or Chandler Lawson, whoever's on the floor, and maybe the Tigers could play small? Or is that how much of a – we know he's, I mean, National Player of the Year candidate type guy, but how much do you think they can bother Zach Edey with the style they play?
Well, I think it's a game where, like, Penny might have to, like, be prepared to throw KO out there for a few minutes.
Right.
Just to give him something different. If somebody's going to pick up fouls, let it be him. He's got the length and the ability to maybe at least alter or impact Zach Edey at times. The thing that would be so important for Memphis in a hypothetical matchup with Purdue would be DeAndre Williams avoiding the temptation to go try and swat the ball out of Zach Edey's
yes.
hand. He's one very good at the things that make Zach Edey elite are so simple. One, he's really good at catching the basketball, a very simple skill, but very underrated and big. Two, he avoids fouls. Again, very simple, but very often a trait that bigs don't have. And then, you know, obviously he's tremendous at finishing around the rim. Sometimes he's just gonna score and you have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
But where I think Memphis can thrive in a theoretical matchup with Purdue is doing what Penn State did in the last 6 minutes, which is ratcheting up the pressure, ratcheting up the tempo, and putting pressure on those freshman guards to just get the ball across half court. Because if you exert 10 seconds worth of energy just getting across half court, then you use another five getting your offense set up. It makes it more difficult at that point with a low shot clock to really get the look that you want from Edey around the basket. And we
yeah.
know how good Memphis is at turning opponents over. I think they could really thrive in that element of the game against this Purdue team in particular.
Yep, that's good. That's good to hear for Tiger fans. But David, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, no problem. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. Follow all of his work, CBSSports.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.